From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, this is Q&A with Jill Geisler.
Hello, welcome, and here's today's question. What's the secret to managing people whose jobs I've never done? This has become quite a common situation. Managers are asked to lead cross-functional teams, a group with widely differing skills and responsibilities. Your background could be finance, but you're responsible for HR, tech, or marketing, either as an overall supervisor or as a project leader. You are confident in your own core skills, but you're understandably concerned about your knowledge gaps when it comes to those other fields. Add to that a healthy dose of imposter syndrome, you know, the voice in your head that whispers every now and then, "Today's the day they figure out I don't really deserve this job." And you can waste a lot of time second-guessing yourself or making bad decisions. So let me put you at ease. Sit back for a moment and just listen. Yes, we're listening to a symphony, Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor, to be exact. And I want you to think of yourself as a symphony conductor. You're in charge of all of those musicians, but you don't know how to play all of their instruments. You just know how to get the best out of each performer. You know, the trumpet over there needs something entirely different than the timpani, and oh, what about that tuba player? I recently tackled this subject, managing people whose jobs you've never done, for my March 2016 column in the Columbia Journalism Review. You can see that at cjr.org. And here's what I wrote in part. I recommend 3 R's for managers who lead people whose jobs they don't know much about: reporting, relationships, and respect. Let's go through them. Reporting. Dig for answers to these questions. What makes a great day at work for professionals whose jobs you've never done? What do they most want you to understand about their work? What's the biggest misconception about their craft? What production processes work best for them? What are their biggest frustrations and distractions? When they talk about the all-time greats in their field, who are they and why? Who are the best bosses they ever worked for, and what did they do differently? The answers won't teach you how to do their work, just to lead it. Next are relationships. Managers tend to gravitate toward people who remind themselves of themselves. We identify with those whose tasks we once did and often provide those people with better face time and feedback. But with that reporting I suggested, you'll be better at building relationships outside your original comfort zone. You'll be tuned into the lexicon and culture of these work teams, and you won't inadvertently say or do something that alienates them. You'll engage in more daily give and take, and you won't check in only during scheduled meetings or when you have concerns. And then, of course, there's respect. Now, if you've done your reporting and built your relationships, the likely byproduct is respect. People will assume you have a positive motive when you discuss the time frame for getting a project done. Instead of hearing, "How can I be sure you're not slacking off?" they'll hear, "How can I make sure I'm setting realistic deadlines?" Reporting, relationships, and respect. Now sit back and enjoy that concert, maestro. I'm Jill Geisler. Thanks for tuning in.